And thank you, Kayla. Feel like we could give an invitation right now. I'm not going to do it because I'm going to preach, but I just thought that anyhow. Don't want you all to get excited for nothing, but thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful song, and sung so well also. 1 Kings chapter 8 in your Bibles for our text tonight. 1 Kings chapter 8. After 35 years of pastoring, and it was time for my wife and me to step down, the church was going to make me a pastor emeritus, and my son he had a Spanish ministry in our church, and that he had started and pastored for 17 years, and he was going to take over the English church as well, which he did. But he had one of his men that got called in the ministry, and our son trained him to be able to take over the Spanish ministry. He was a Spanish fellow himself, Brother Ramos. And when we were making the transition and the title was going out, this fellow came to my son and asked him, he said, Troy, he said, about your dad, he said, what is he going to be, an emeritus? What is that? And I said, emeritus is something, you get them in your shoulders, your neck sometime. But so I'm a pastor emeritus from Fairfax Baptist Temple in Fairfax, Virginia. And thank the Lord for a wonderful church there and a great church family that we have up in Fairfax as well. But it's just wonderful to be involved in God's work. Wherever you are, whatever you are, it doesn't take titles. It just takes laborers, willing hearts, asking ourselves, have I really done my best for the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Kings chapter 8, an exciting text for me, anyhow, to look at, that I want to preach about tonight. 1 Kings chapter 8, and beginning in verse 56. If you look in verse 56 of 1 Kings 8. Verse 56, the Bible says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all time, as the matter shall require. Let all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments is at this day. Our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is and the privilege it is to be able to enter into your throne by the grace of our God and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you will bless our time now and help us to keep in mind that it is important, it's imperative that we give our best to Jesus. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will work through this message tonight to speak to our hearts and the ministry and the future here at Volusia County Baptist Church. Bless us together now, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We all know there are a lot of different causes to be involved in this world today. You can't pick up the paper, turn on the TV news, or the radio without hearing something about the wall and whether we get it built or not built. There's a cause there that a lot of people are putting themselves into, and a lot of politicians, and a lot of hundreds of thousands of others that are petitioning our government as well. We think about the wars that are going on in Afghanistan and the thousands of people that have given their lives of our people over in Afghanistan, besides the tens of thousands of Afghan people who have lost their lives and fighting in the struggles over there in the Middle East with Iran and Iraq as well. And I'm thankful that we've got a military that continues to work on our behalf and that cause of helping to provide a little bit of peace over in the Middle East section of this world. I think about the continued killing of over 1 million babies every year while in the alleged protection of their mother's womb. We need someone to help us with the calls of the innocent children that lose their lives from after having done nothing. I think about communism still enslaving people in China, 1.5 billion people or more enslaved in that place, in China alone, as well as other communist countries. I think about the gangs of thugs that are infiltrating our own country and infiltrating and populating this nation, the terrorists that are determined more than ever to destroy our liberties and our very existence, if possible. Islam, that's flooding our nation and now entering into our Congress, by the way, and the world with their hatreds and their heresies that they have in all the politics. And by the way, if I could say, Islam is not a friend to Christianity. It is nothing about it is friendly. If anyone says it's a peaceful religion, it's because they don't know what the Quran says, because it is not peaceful. You are the infidel. I am the infidel in their mind, and infidels, according to the Quran, need to be killed. But anyhow, I think of all of this, and I can almost hear that young, unintimidated shepherd boy crying out as he saw Goliath and the armies of Israel that were being defied by the Philistines there, crying out to the people there, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to be involved in? There are a lot of things that we could be involved in. But my question to you tonight is, what are you involved in? What cause are you fighting for? But you say, well, but I'm a student, or I'm a teacher, or I'm retired, or I'm a business person, or I am this, or I am that. Okay, that's fine. But what cause are you involved in? What are you doing? A giving of your best, if I could, as well. But I would reply, and I think, wow, a worker involved in a cause. That's what God wants for all of us. And I think, a cause. So ask yourself, what is it that excites me? What do I get up thinking about in the mornings? What do I do? How do I involve myself in the church? What about our church and the cause that is there? Notice what Solomon said, if you would, in verse 59. The Bible said in verse 59, and let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. The long-awaited temple had now finally been completed. And King Solomon fell to his knees, the Bible says, and with outstretched hands, he prayed a prayer of dedication in the Lord's name, that the Lord's name would always be at that temple. And upon completing his prayer, he stood to his feet and he blessed the people. Notice what he said in verse 55, where it said in verse 55 that he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice. And here's what he said. He reminded them of something. Blessed in verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And he has all these people of Israel there around him as he is addressing them. They said that when Adoniram Judson came home on his first and only furlough, he was asked if the prospects were very bright for the conversion of the world and all the heathens. And his famous reply was, as bright, sirs, as the promises of God. I remind us, the promises of God, like, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, are still true today. There's never been one promise that has failed. Then Solomon, he prayed a couple of more things. The first being focused on our obedience to God's word. Notice what he said in verse 57. This was his prayer as well. He said that the Lord our God, verse 57, be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that this book is to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It was Job that said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of thy lips, but I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. This Bible should be part of our heart, our being, and our DNA. We should be living by the word. We should be looking at it and following it in every way. But I want you to notice now with me something as we back up a little bit, because here Solomon is addressing the nation. But let me show you when we just enter in kind of privately into Solomon's private prayer that he had to Almighty God. Our text that I just read was Solomon telling the people what he was praying. He told the people, this is what I had on my heart and mind. This is what I was asking God about. And this is what I'm encouraging you to do, to follow the Lord God Almighty. But notice, if you would, back in verse 45, here is the prayer of Solomon before God on his knees before the Lord. He said, verse 45, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and notice, maintain their cause. You ought to underline that in your Bible. I underlined it and circled it in my Bible because that's very, very important for the text and the context here. But then if you would, skip down to verse 49. Look in verse 49. He said in verse 49, then hear thou their prayer, is talking to God, and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place. And notice again, maintain their cause. And now telling the people what he asked God. So now he is saying to the people that are all there, right there in front of him, listening to him as he is speaking to them, he said, let me tell you what I was asking God in my prayer. And notice what he said in verse 59. Here he's telling them, and let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause. There it is again. Maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. So here is saying now, I've asked God to maintain the cause, my cause and the cause of our people here in Israel as well. Solomon is saying, God, I have a cause and I need your help, God, to be able to maintain that cause because I do not have the strength to carry it out alone. So I ask you, where are you in your journey in knowing the will of God and fulfilling God's will in your life, using that cause for his glory? And I propose to you this evening that we pray the same prayer that Solomon prayed and say, dear God, please maintain the cause of thy servant. And I think about, what was that cause? What was Solomon so concerned about? Why did he say it two different times to God in prayer? And then he said it again to the people. Look, I've prayed to Almighty God at the temple that we just built. I prayed, dear God, please maintain the cause of thy servant and the cause of thy people as well. But what was it? What was Solomon's cause? Let me share with you what Solomon's cause is right out of the Bible, and you'll see it yourself. His cause and our cause is to propagate the gospel. Notice what he said when he said to me in verse 59 that he maintained the cause of his servant and the cause of his people at all times as the matter shall require. Notice, here's what it is, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. He said, Lord, here's the cause that I have. I want to get your name out. I want to tell everyone about Almighty God. I want to tell everyone about Jehovah God. Lord, please maintain the cause of thy servant. Lord, it's something I know. It's got to be a part of my life, and I've got to give my all to it. And I think, Lord, help me with that. And I remind us as well, God wants his name glorified, not ours. It's his program. It's his church. It's his word. It's his Bible. It's his cause. It's his name that is important. And that's why we want to give ourselves to it. And I'm simply suggesting to all of us, we need to pick up the same cause that Solomon had. Lord, to propagate the gospel. I want to give it out. I want to tell the whole earth about the Lord. So I don't have the responsibility, and Volusia County Baptist Church does not have the responsibility of reaching Volusia County alone. That's our Jerusalem. And then we've got our Judea. Then we have our Samaria. And then we have the uttermost part of the earth. We have to tell everyone about the Lord. He wants his name broadcast every place we go. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's out to stop us in every way. But make up your mind, when I walk out those doors, I'm going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Some of you think, well, I've got to really be a Bible college graduate before I can witness. Do you know how much difficulty and how much education it takes to pass out a gospel tract? You say, well, I can't do it. I don't have a degree in Bible. If you've been saved, you got a degree. If you've been saved, that's all you need. I mean, when someone rescues you from a burning, fiery hell and a lake of fire for all of eternity, certainly you feel a little bit of unction to you about owing that one something with your life. And certainly we do. You say, well, but here, let me show you something. And I'll have to admit, I've gone to Bible college and I've done graduate work as well. So I know a whole lot more about how to do this. But here's what I've learned through all my years of education. I've got a tract like this. I took a bunch of these last night, and I took some more tonight because I ran out, and I passed them out to some people today. And I simply say, hey, I'd like to give you a personal invitation to come and visit with us at Volusia County Baptist Church. He said, see, I knew it was all because of your education. That's why you could say that. I mean, come on. That really took a lot. You know what? Something I usually say, particularly when I'm out of town as well, but even in town, I would simply say, as I turn it to the back part here and say, I'm out of town right now, but I want to give this to you. There's a little message on here on how to go to heaven. Read it when you get an opportunity. And more than 9 out of 10, it's probably 95 out of 100, will say thank you and take it. Amen. I think it doesn't take a lot of training to be able to do that. I mean, come on. I mean, just to do it. But asking yourself, do I even do that? I mean, do I even pass out a hand out a gospel tract? I mean, come on. Oh, thank you so much. By the way, I'd like to give you something to read when you get an opportunity, tell you about heaven right out of the Bible. Amen. There you go again with all that education. I can see it'll never work for me because I could never do that. Hey, I'm just simply saying, some of us don't do what we ought to before God because we're just disobedient. And that's why he is praying. Look, I just pray that we'll walk in his ways and keep his commandments, like go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we don't. We hold back because we get tight. We're a little too sophisticated for it. I might offend them. Hey, trust me. They're not going to be any more offended than when they wind up in a Christless hell. Trust me, that's good. And the Bible said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of his glory. And I think, wait a minute. Hell is being where Jesus and God are not. It's being where they're not. It's hell is being without that wonderful grace and mercy of Almighty God. And please, let us, if you ought to ask yourself right now, and this is what it'll tell you. Say, oh, I'm a witness. Here's what it'll tell you. Tell me if you're a witness or not. Do you have these in your pocket right now? And I guarantee you, most people here do not. And that's to our shame. Some have not the knowledge of God, Paul said. He said, I speak this to your shame. And I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just trying to show you something that I need and you need. Always carry gospel tracts with you. Always. It's our job to propagate the gospel. Lord, we want you to maintain the cause of thy servant. Oh, what's the cause? I mean, hey, everybody goes to Walmart. And you got to have a Walmart around here, I know. So you go to Walmart. I mean, make it so those look, I've already got 7 of them. They just gave them to me. But I'll take it too. I mean, get it to where it's like that. We want to be telling everyone. I mean, everyone about the Lord Jesus Christ. You just don't know. But tell them. You go to Starbucks and get coffee, give out the gospel tracts. You go to the restaurants, give out. We've seen people saved in the restaurant. I'm saying you just keep giving out tracts and talking to people because it's Jesus' name that this Bible verses talk about as well on the back side of it, but for all of us. And so, ladies, put the tracts in your purse so you always have them with you. In my car, the car that I drive, it has a track rack in it, and I put tracts in them. As some people call them, ashtrays, but I use it as a track rack. And I put my tracts in it, and I think it's a great track rack to be able to have. Or if you don't have it there, on the side of your door, there's a little thing there. You can look in my car. I've got two cars. You can look in any time. You'll see tracts on the side of the door. Because in case I don't have them in my wallet, which I always carry in my wallet, when I run out, I refill from my side of my car, both cars. So I always have. So there's never an excuse not to have it. I'm simply saying, do we care about the cause? Or we say, oh, yeah, that's good. I'm glad the pastor can do that. And the ladies can do that. And the deacons and the staff and Brother Jim and his wife. I mean, I'm glad they can all do it. But, I mean, after all, come on. I don't have that kind of background. If you've been saved, you do. If you've been saved, you've got all the background you need to declare his glory to the lost and dying people. So Almighty God has given us these instructions on how to get the job done. And ultimately, as we do that, we can see more churches get started. Because eventually, some of these people that get saved like that will then maybe get called of God to go into the ministry. Maybe they'll get the burden to be able to go and plant a church in one of these other countries around here that you have flags up here to tell more people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me encourage you to think about God's work as the greatest cause you could ever be involved in. And the work of the Lord should be something that's burdened on our heart all the time instead of backing off. So ask yourself, who's going to go? I mentioned some countries the other day, but here's a few others. We think about the 80 million people in Iran, or the 36 million people in Iraq, or the 52 million in North Korea, and the 25 million, the 52 million in South Korea, the 61 million people in Italy, 183 million people in Nigeria, the 30 million people in Peru, the 56 million in South Africa, 66 million in Thailand, 38 million in Uganda, and 95 million in Vietnam, 29 million in Venezuela. I'm simply saying, where you name the country, there's horrendous needs for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Solomon said, look, Lord, please maintain the cause of thy servant, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else beside him. It's our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's done so much. I remember not too many years ago, I was visiting. I mentioned the other day one of our fellows that went to Malawi. I went to Kenya and Malawi. And I remember when I was leaving the country of Malawi in the city of Blantyre, which is the second largest city in Malawi, 11 million people. And when I was leaving, I was with Brother Scott Wendell, as a matter of fact. His wife had died, his first wife had died a year or so before that. So I wanted to take him with me, and we went together. And we were leaving, and as we were coming into the airport to leave, to go back to Kenya and then come back to the States, we were going through their security. Their security is not quite as sophisticated as ours is, where you just walk through and there's a beep if you've got any metal on you. Their way of checking you is you come into a booth and then a guy kind of pats you down and makes sure you're not carrying anything, and then you go through. And so I went through one, he went through another one, and when we got through, we walked down, there was a one hallway. It wasn't a big airport at all, but we went down one hallway. And then it turned and it went down another place. And there was a room about from here to that wall over there, and that wall out to about the about this first row right here. So it wasn't a real big room. There's chairs all the way on the perimeter of it, but and that was the only waiting room they had. And the whole every chair was had somebody sitting in it. So Brother Wendell and I, we walked in there and we saw you know, there's only standing room only. So we were just standing there talking, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, did you have to fill out that form? I said, what form? He said, well, you know, the form about declarations and things like that. I said, no, I didn't, but I'm not going to go back and do it now. So we're just standing there talking, and then I saw the security guard that patted me down. I saw him walking down toward us, and I told Brother Wendell, you remember that one, don't leave home without him? I said, look, don't leave this country without me, no matter what. I thought he was going to come and get me because I didn't fill this form out, and I thought, you know, I've heard and know in these third world countries sometimes they do a little of this under the table stuff trying to get a little extra, and I thought, okay, I'm getting set up right now. So I said, look, Brother Wendell, please make sure don't leave and get on that plane without me in case he hauls me off someplace. So the guy comes to me, and as he's walking toward me, he told me to come to him. I thought, this is it. So I go up to him, and I walk up to him, and as I got up to him, he said, do you have any more of these? I thought, good night, mister. Couldn't you have said that to begin with? I gave me a heart attack when he said it. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, I do have, and I had two or three more because, again, when I take my wallet and I carry them in my wallet, so I carry the extra tracks there as I have here. I just can't get them out of my pocket right now. I've been eating too much. Good night. You all feed people around here all the time. But anyhow, it's your fault, not mine. So I said, yeah, I do. I gave him a couple of tracks, and I said, have you ever seen out of the Bible how to go to heaven? He said, no, sir. I said, would you like to? He said, yeah, I would. I said, well, do you have time right now I could show you? And he said, yeah. I said, well, could we do it? He said, sure, come on with me. So we went back down this hallway, turned left, went back into the booth where he patted me down. We go into that booth, the two of us. I didn't have anything with me except another track that was in my pocket. I pulled the track out as I was handing it to him, and I went through the Romans road that we had on the track or some of the verses that were there and showed him what the Bible said. And right there in that booth right there, he bowed his head and prayed and asked God to save his soul. I said, if you don't mind, I said, the missionary's already gone. He dropped us off at the airport and he's gone. I said, I'm going back home. And when I get back to the States, I'll write him and ask him to bring you some more literature and get in touch with you. I said, would you mind giving me your name and address? So he wrote his name and address down for me. I got back home. I sent it back to Brother Lexo, who was our missionary evangelist that was there, and I told him what had happened and asked him if he'd mind going to visit him. Well, about 3 months later, the missionary came back home on furlough, and he came into my office right away. I said, oh, Mike. I said, man, I'm glad to see you. I said, did you ever perchance ever get a chance to follow up and see that security guard? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I did. He said, the day I got it, I went over to his house and talked to him. He came to our church on that Wednesday night. He came that Sunday, and he has not missed a service since that time. And he said, when my wife and family and I came last week and got on the plane to be able to come back on furlough, he came up to me. He said, hey, missionary, he said, when you come back, would you mind starting a church in my house? That's just from that one contact with a track. And I'm saying, there's a church getting started that got started. And I'm simply saying, pass them out. Talk to people about the Lord. You just don't ever know the opportunities that you have in sharing with you. And it may be that God just wants you to go and get involved in helping out in the ministry. And so all of us need to think about, again, and I've mentioned it before, particularly you young men, is God calling you into the ministry? Your career, forget it for just a moment. Is God calling you, children? Is God calling you in the ministry? Teens, young people, singles, young married, anyone, older married. Maybe God wants you to be able to go in one of these countries over here and plant another church for his glory. Say, well, I just don't feel called. Well, let me ask you a question. What does it feel like to feel called, since that's what you're waiting for? And I say, if you don't know what it feels like to feel called, how do you know you haven't felt the feeling already you're supposed to feel called? I mean, come on, it's not the feeling. As Charles Spurgeon said, it's an overwhelming desire for the work of the ministry. It's just something in your heart, it gets there. I was a student at East Carolina University. I went there before I was saved. I went there because I heard it was a great party school. That's why I went. I went to East Carolina. That's when I got saved then as well. My wife, great influence in my life, wife-to-be. And I got saved. I got called into the ministry in a church there in Greenville, North Carolina. But thank the Lord for that. But I look at that and I think, wow, what an opportunity. I knew then there was just something about it. I had to do it and had to talk to people. I remember ordering 2,000 tracts as soon as I got saved. And I had a friend of mine that was there on campus as well as a student. And I said, would you help me one day? One day, we spent all day standing on campus when we only had one or two classes. And in between our other classes, we would pass it. We passed out 2,000 tracts on campus that day just because I wanted to get the gospel out. I'd just been saved. I'd never seen anything like this before. And maybe God's working in your heart. Maybe there's that overwhelming desire for the work of the ministry, and you ought to come up and say, Pastor Sears, please, I think God's doing something in my heart. By the way, I found out years ago, I used to have men come to me and say, well, Pastor Calvert, how do you really know if you're called? And then I would share with them some things that you, how you know if you're called or not. And then about 6 months later, they would walk down the aisle and say, God's calling me in the ministry. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Well, I did that a couple of times. And after a while, I thought, you know what? A guy came into me then, and I wised up. And he said, I just want to ask you a question. How do you really know if you're called? And I simply said, you're called. Because how come you're the only man in this whole church that's in my office asking me this question? It's because the work that God's doing in your heart. And sure enough, they come forward and be called, trained, and we send them out and start churches. So I'm simply saying, what is your cause? And what about witnessing for the Lord? And what about being a good testimony? And don't just throw it off or say, well, that's the soul-winning team. Every member of Volusia County Baptist Church should be part of the soul-winning team. Maintain the cause, he said. How do you maintain it? Solomon, what was your burden? What was your concern? He said in verse 59, I prayed, maintain the cause of your servant and the cause of the people of Israel at all times, verse 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Then he said in verse 61, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Our cause should be the same as Solomon's cause, and that is in propagating the gospel. But the second thing, Solomon's calls and our calls should be that of perfecting the heart. I should be concerned about my heart. So he said, look, Lord, he said, this is what I told God. This is what I spoke to God about. Because I want to make sure that I can tell all the people of the earth, let everyone know about God, and then to let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord your God. And saying that he wants the heart perfect doesn't mean sinless. That's not saying the same thing. It is getting to the place where I hate sin. And I don't know that any of us ever hate it enough. But I know I don't. But I work on hating sin more so I can be more like Jesus Christ, since I've been predestined to be conformed to his image. And he hated sin. So I want to work toward that. But it's maturing that I am to be doing and maintaining having that perfect heart. Simple to preach, extremely difficult to be able to have that perfect heart, that heart that desires God above everything as well. So I say Solomon asked God to maintain the cause of world evangelism, and Solomon now asked God then for the people and asked the people to maintain the cause of protecting the heart, because your labors for God will count no more in eternity than your heart for God. That's why the theme has been the heart for the harvest, because it's all in the heart. It's not a matter of giving. Tomorrow night, we make commitments there and say, well, it's a matter of who has how much. It is not about how much money you have. It's about how big your heart is. And that's the key. Because if my heart is right with God, it's easy to be able to give more to the work of the Lord. It's easy to be able to help more men of God and their families to get to the foreign field and stay there. It's easy to be able to give towards church planting and helping out in missions and world evangelism if my heart's right. But if I have a heart for for the harvest. And so he is saying here, Lord, please, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Andrew Murray said, and I quote, holy for God, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy for God is the keynote of perfection, end of quote. Look again in verse 58, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. In verse 61, to let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. I would remind us that a perfect heart is an obedient heart. Lord, I want to do your will. Please help me with that as well. So we're still admonished by God to be holy, for I am holy, to maintain a good home life. And I think about how important it is to have a home, a relationship with my spouse, a relationship with your children, with your parents, how vitally important that is for all of our homes to be able to maintain. Because I want to make my heart right. I want to make sure the heart is right with Almighty God. So I look at that, and God says, until we draw nigh to God, he's not going to be able to use us. So I draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Maintain the cause of purity and propagating the gospel. God's will is to be actively engaged in the work of our Lord now. And let us just get along with Solomon and pray, dear God, please, Lord, this is on my heart. Lord, please, by your grace, please, God, help me maintain the cause. And Lord, help me with that cause and knowing that I've got to propagate the gospel. I must tell more people about Jesus Christ. I must. And please, Lord, help me to perfect my heart, to get my heart right. And we all have to deal with our hearts every day of our lives. But please, Lord, help me with my heart to think right, live right, have a burden, quit making excuses, be obedient, to serve the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. Our Father in heaven, please help us, Lord, I pray. Help us, dear Lord, even with this invitation time, that we might be able to say along with Solomon, God, please perfect our hearts. Please, Lord, help us to maintain the cause of propagating the gospel and perfecting our hearts, making our hearts what they ought to be. Lord, please, maybe someone you're speaking to about the ministry, about full-time ministry, planting churches, please speak to their hearts tonight, Lord, as well. And please help all of us to desire a heart that is really right with God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you would say tonight, God has spoken to my heart in some way tonight? I don't know how, but you'd say, God has spoken to my heart. Please pray with me that I can be involved in propagating the gospel, telling more people about Jesus, and to work on my own heart that I can really get my heart totally right, sold out with God. If that's your simple prayer tonight, would you mind indicating that tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed? Just slip up your hand, just say, yeah, that's my prayer, that's my burden. God bless you. Many, yes, others, please. Lord, I really, really want a heart for you. And I know these people do as well. And I know there's a burden that's been shared and reflected here by so many tonight as well. God, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, just to be that obedient servant of the Lord. Father, if you've spoken to our hearts, just help us, I pray, to keep our hearts aflame for thee. Give us that burden, Lord, for souls, and Lord, that you might do your work to perfect our hearts for Jesus Christ. Lord, please, please, Lord, do your work and have your own way and help us to do our best for Jesus. While our heads are still bowed, I'm going to ask that we stand to our feet. Tonight, You didn't come to church just to hear somebody stand behind this pulpit and preach, but I hope you came to be able to hear from God. And tonight I want to give you an opportunity to just you and God, that you might come tonight and do business with that Lord. Just to be able to say, God, please, here's the cause that's been laid out tonight of propagating the gospel and perfecting my heart. Please help me to have a heart that's fully yielded to Thee. And Lord, a heart that's genuinely burdened about leading souls to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to invite you to come and kneel here at the altar. Or some of you that not up to kneeling, you don't have to kneel. Maybe just come and stand. You just say, I raised my hand. I'd like to come. I just want to let God know I'm really sincere about this thing. I want this cause, God's cause, to be my cause. Would you come as the pianist plays our invitation? I invite you to come and pray.